Our Old Testament reading for this Ash Wednesday is recorded in the prophet Joel, the second chapter. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breasts. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep before the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. The Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. In great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distress, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and not yet killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. Our Holy Gospel for this Ash Wednesday is recorded in the book of St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Please rise. This is our Lord Jesus speaking. Be very careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and dust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and dust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. How often do we pray this prayer? We pray it every time we gather for worship. We pray it at the conclusion of our Bible classes and even at our confirmation classes. Most of us have learned this prayer at a very early age. It is prayed at the bedside of the sick and the dying. And I have at times wanted to weep with joy, literally weep with joy, as I've heard someone who, in the last stages of their life, seemingly unable to remember anything at all, is still able to recall and recite with me the Lord's Prayer. If the last time you prayed the Lord's Prayer was at worship, then I encourage you to join me in praying it when you're all alone. Or if the context calls for it, when you're with someone else. But I encourage you to do it in a very devout fashion. Maybe two or three times a day. As we go through this season of Lent, do it as a discipline. You know, instead of giving something up for Lent, I love it when people talk about giving something up for Lent. If I'm going to give up anything for Lent, it's going to be winter. But instead of giving something up for Lent, how about adding something to your Lenten discipline? And how about adding praying the Lord's Prayer two or three times every day? That would just be a fantastic practice to add. Throughout the next several weeks, my hope and my prayer is that this prayer taught to us by our Lord Jesus Christ will consume your life. And not only consume your life, but become part of your lifestyle. You'll see it as an antidote, if you will, and a blessing for you as you deal with your pain and your guilt, your humility and your arrogance, as you wrestle with your needs and your relationships, and, well, I pray that it would envelop you as you recall the grace of Jesus. For you see, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for all seasons. No matter what season of life you find yourself in, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for all seasons. As time goes by, I hope and pray that you will begin to see that the more you pray it, the more that you will begin to interject your own petitions and your own personal needs, your thoughts and your fears. For instance, when I pray the petition, "Thy will be done on earth," I might interject, "Lord, this also includes Barb and Ron, John and Stephanie, people who weigh heavy upon my heart and my mind." This then begins to feed our thoughts as we start to add all sorts of individuals for whom we pray on a daily basis. So each week during these Lenten gatherings, each Wednesday night, we're going to stay on track, but we're going to pray one petition at a time in succession, offering some of Luther's wonderful insights and explanation, except for tonight. Tonight, this is Ash Wednesday. That's a time to recall with heartfelt penitence. That's a big word. That's a fancy word. And when I say penitence, I mean contrition, regret, remorse, even sorrow. You see, sin's ultimate curse is death. Therefore, our theme for this evening is the Lord's Prayer, our season of needing forgiveness. See, this prayer of forgiveness, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." That's the fifth petition in the Lord's Prayer. It is a powerful petition when we need forgiveness or we need to forgive someone. Tonight we begin our series by skipping to this fifth petition because it's Ash Wednesday. And what a powerful petition this is to pray when you need to be forgiven or when you need to forgive someone. Either when you've been engulfed in guilt or you're in the middle of bearing an enormous grudge. Maybe you've brought deep and lasting pain and grief to someone. Or perhaps you've been stung by severe words and a severe behavior directed against you. You've either sinned or you've been sinned against. Or maybe you've made a desperately wrong, selfish decision that puts you on a path of potential destruction. Then again, maybe you've been the victim of someone else's greed. There may also be a time when you've broken a relationship with someone whom you've loved, or perhaps you've been betrayed by someone you thought loved you. Then there are times when your tongue has been the weapon of unbridled anger, or maybe your good name has been slandered by false testimony. Again, throughout any of those seasons, what a powerful petition to pray. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." My friends, forgiveness is essential because it is the only thing that breaks bondage. When we have sinned or when someone has sinned against us, like if your good name has been slandered in some fashion or another, the action or words cannot be retracted. Once they fly out over your lips, you can't reach out and grab them back. And not only do they hurt, but left unchecked, they're like a ball and chain that you drag around with you. Luther reminds us in the Large Catechism that because we live in a world among people are going to do us harm, and they're going to give us reasons to be impatient, to be angry, to seek revenge. And during these times, our conscience is often thrown into unrest. So it's necessary that we run and we retrieve consolation and comfort from the gospel. God certainly forgives our sins and our trespasses because of Christ, but I'd like to propose to you that the purpose of this petition is that we may recognize and receive the comfort that he has for us. Did you hear that last line? That we may recognize and receive the comfort that he has for us. You see, forgiveness is essential because it is the only thing that breaks our bondage, resulting in freedom. Can you imagine someone saying to you, I'd prefer my bondage over freedom? Can you imagine anyone saying that? But there are times when a person thinks that forgiving someone for that unforgivable thing is like letting them off the hook. You know, I could never forgive so-and-so for what they did, we say. The truth is, forgiving someone does much good for you because holding on to the situation places you in bondage instead of letting you be free. It's sort of like that pebble in your shoe that you can't seem to get rid of as you're walking along, or that speck of dust in your eye that constantly irritates and irritates your eye. You see, my friends, where we have the strength and the hope is found in Jesus Christ our Lord and in his sacrifice. And in his sacrifice for you and for me upon the cross, he has forgiven us. He has forgiven you. And in that forgiveness is the power for us to forgive one another in his name. There's a very important spiritual distinction between finding it hard to forgive and being unwilling to do so. There will be times when all you can offer is a broken and contrite heart, where we might pray, I know, Lord, what you require of me, and I long to do it, but I can't unless you help me. I've had to pray that a few times myself. For such a one, for such a person who is poor in spirit, there is the message of God's mercy in Christ and the promise of blessings of the reign of heaven already now, where our Lord says to you, I forgive you. Take and eat. On the other hand, if a Christian looks another in the eye and says, I know what God requires of me, but I'm not going to do it, then that's a very serious matter. This is where bondage comes into play. As the parable of the unforgiving servant illustrates so well, the prior forgiveness of the master was meant to produce forgiveness for others. It doesn't bring it about automatically, but it does mean that the master's forgiveness can be rejected unless repentance occurs. You see, needing forgiveness or needing to forgive, it is not coincidental that the one petition which our Lord adds, he gives us here, forgive us our trespasses, is the one petition where he adds a comment. He adds a little a commentary, if you will. The words are cut to us through us like a knife, where he says in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you don't, your Father will not forgive your sins. You see, God's forgiving love is not, it is never, ever at our initiative. It is always, forever and ever, solely and singularly at the behest of God's redeeming grace. Jesus' powerful word from the cross affirms that basic truth. You remember what he said. We're going to hear it again on Good Friday. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Father didn't say to the Son, wait a while until these ungodly people repent of their sins, and then you go to the cross to complete the act of salvation. Boy, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? But God didn't say that. Instead, the Father said to the Son, "Now go, and go and suffer and die, that these ungodly people may come to know and confess you as their Savior and Lord. That though their sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as wool and as snow, and remembered by me no more. Go, my son, that your sacrifice will be the power for them to forgive one another in your name." You see, the power to forgive comes from Christ's prior gift to you. In humble recognition of our own need for forgiveness, and with the mercy supplied by Jesus' forgiveness, we are, of all times, able to forgive others who have wronged us. And that's the power of this fifth petition. So, dear friends, you are already forgiven. You are already forgiven. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. God has given you His Holy Spirit. He has given you His Holy Spirit as a seal on your life, not only to guarantee your inheritance, but enabling you to do what He has called you to do. So I ask you to pray with me the Lord's Prayer. Let's try this. And before we get to this fifth petition, you may not have them numbered in your head, but the petition is, "Forgive us our trespasses." Let's pause. And I'd like you to reflect. I'd like you to reflect upon the cross, wherein we see the power of the Lord's forgiving love, and reflect on the seasons of your life when on one side of the ledger or the other side, you need forgiveness or you need to forgive. Remember what we said. The more you pray the prayer, the more we interject our own needs, our specific trespasses, the names of those we need to forgive. So we're going to pray this prayer right now, and when we get to that petition, we're going to pause for a moment. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now pause. Just pause for a moment. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue our worship with our evening offering.